Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we take your questions from anywhere in the world. We live in the age of the internet, and questions come in, I remember just a week ago, from Tel Aviv and from Nicaragua. Questions are flooding in from around the world, and we invite you to call the broadcast today. I'd love to talk to you. As just mentioned by Randy, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We do have a wonderful lineup of contact numbers. 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. I like that number. 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. On the web, it's equip.org. There's a reason for equip. We're here to equip God's people for works of service so the body might be built up and strengthened. And then you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Again, the number 888-7000. And the letter CRI, a lot of people queuing up right now. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll go right to the calls. But I did want to say something about our celebration of resurrection. I mean, it passes all too quickly. We, in our particular fellowship of believers, enacted the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now we're thinking about his ascension. His ascension, he will sit on the right hand of glory. This is a wonderful thing to contemplate. But again, we just celebrated the resurrection of Christ, but often we forget its dramatic implications. Think about the fact that through his resurrection, Jesus overcame the dividing line between heaven and earth. It's as though the veil was rent asunder and we can see something that we couldn't see before. The dividing line between visible and invisible, ultimately the division between life and death itself. That is what the resurrection did. I love what Matthew says. For God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Augustine spoke eloquently of the martyrs who pray for you and me to follow in the footsteps of Christ, laying aside all else on the altar. As Christians, we are never to pray to the saints, heaven forbid. Rather, it may be our hope that they are communing with God in urging us on to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Through his resurrection, we may, as it were, we may ascend to that great realm of glory where in spirit we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, saints and martyrs from throughout all time. This, in essence, is akin to being brought into the fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit along with all the saints. Maybe when you have some spare time, you want to look at the book of Revelation and see how they are in the presence of God. It's a beautiful picture. God always using earthly, perceptible realities or verities to point to those things which are heavenly. Why? Because it's easy to fix our gaze on things below. Let's fix our gaze on that which is above. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. Let's go first to Ben in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Ben.
Fine. How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
The question I had is a dying person, okay, and I tried to witness to this person. It wasn't a believer all his life, and the person turned to me, and both eyes were black, completely black. And I kind of wanted to know what was going on because I asked doctors. They couldn't give me any satisfactory explanation. And they've never seen that before. And I've talked to other pastors. They haven't seen that before. So I don't know what was going on with that.
Well, I've been at the bedside of many dying people. I have not seen that before myself. What I can say is that the believer dies in a very different way than the unbeliever. The believer dies in hope. I mean, it's always difficult to leave the present, that which we know, but we have a certainty that in dying we shall yet live. And those who are not believers do not have that certainty, and therefore there is a pallor, as it were, that may even become visible in their countenance. So can I explain it? No, I cannot. I do know that there are two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness, and what you have just chronicled is emblematic of the kingdom of darkness. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Richard, Olympia, Washington, listening on the web. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Hank. I have two questions for you. One is regarding Christian Zionism, and specifically, it appears that the people that have this perspective view Palestinians as almost subclass or subhumans. And my question is, with Luke 6:35, how does Christian Zionism reconcile loving your enemies? And that's my first question. And then the second question is, regarding the presidential inauguration, I don't know if you saw that or not, but he had clergy pray, or several clergy pray, and one of them was a rabbi, and he quoted Psalm 137. And my question is, why would someone quote that psalm at this particular event?
Yeah, interesting questions. With respect to Zionism, pretty interesting, because In stark contrast to cultural Zionists who deem ethnic cleansing as a defensible cruelty, Christian Zionists actually defend ethnic cleansing as a divine command. So if you have the secularists, it is defensible as a cruelty. Christian Zionists defend it as a divine command. And that is from Darby in the past to people like LaHaye in the 21st century, although he has gone home to be with the Lord. They have militantly forwarded the notion that God has covenanted to give Eretz Israel, and what that means is greater Israel, from the river of Egypt to the river of the Euphrates, exclusively to the Jews. So the idea is the Lord is going to purify his land from all the wicked. So, as you've correctly said, and I remember being in a green room waiting to speak at a conference, and there was a Christian Zionist who was going to speak before me. And he saw me and he thanked me for all my work and proceeded to talk about how gypsies are akin to Arabs. So an Arab in the Holy Land, whether they are a Palestinian a Christian or a Palestinian a Muslim, it didn't really matter. For him, they were gypsies. They were not fully, as he began to define that, they were not fully human in his viewpoint. And you have people in present-day Protestant circles like John Hagee, very, very explicit about this. God has given Jerusalem, he says, only to the Jews. And therefore, supporting the displacement of Arabs in order to make room for Jews is rationalized as the fulfillment of the purposes of God. Now, how do we respond to that? We respond to that by saying, the reality is that God does not divide between people. I talked about this on yesterday's show. If you are in Christ, you are an heir of Abraham. You are a son or a daughter according to the promise. And that has nothing to do with your gender. It has nothing to do with your ethnicity. It has nothing to do with your station in life. If you are in Christ, you're an heir according to the promise. So the idea is sometimes expressed in a hateful way, but not always. So I think we need to be careful to be considerate of those Christian Zionists who do not have hate in their heart at all. Maybe they have some cognitive dissonance. I don't know. Maybe they, again, subscribe this to this is God's command, which is to say God made a promise to Abraham. That promise has never been fulfilled in the past, and therefore it has to be fulfilled in the future. And if it is not fulfilled, then God is not God. So this is a justification for ethnic cleansing. Again, there is no need biblically for this whole paradigm. I think it is founded on a faulty premise. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to R.C., Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, R.C.
Hi, Hank. Good to talk to you again. I was saddened when my network out here in Kansas City didn't carry you, and I'm really, really missing you, and I'm having withdrawals. I'm going to have to hear your program tomorrow on the archive.
Oh, I tell you, R.C., people are finding all kinds of ways to listen to the broadcast. Sirius XM 131. Of course, is a fantastic outlet. But yeah, the web and the smartphones, I mean, there's so many ways in an age of technology to get the broadcast. And I've been so heartened by the numbers of people that are calling in. They're listening to me on the web, on their smartphones. So it's been very encouraging to me.
Thank you. I remember when you went to Kansas City to the Colonial Presbyterian Church and you were you're saying something from memory about heaven from Revelation, and it was so. My son was with me. He's a millennial mindset, but he listens to your program a lot. And I remember he took me back when Tarsus went up to you and he said what you meant to him. So not only did you hit my generation, you know, because when I first started listening to you, I was actually kind of angry, but you challenged me to look at scripture, and from then I grew to fall in love with God in such a great way that I love him more today, even so, and being equipped from you guys, from your whole staff, from you, then finally meeting you, and then finally seeing second generation, listening to the truth in life that matters. It's been astounding. You have been everything. You know, I am now a leader in church, and I head up a prison ministry with other people. And I am so equipped because of you guys, because of CRI. And from the bottom of our heart, from our house to yours, we are deeply grateful, heartfeltly in gratitude and praying. You know, I feel I'm probably right to my major network here, so they can include you back on, because I've taken that for granted. And, you know, the people, too, that I listen to on that same network, I feel like, I want to write to them to intercede for me while we're still living here, because, wow, you are so close to the Lord. I can see that, and I was praying with that guy yesterday, and I heard, that prayer. I was praying.
Thank you, R.C.
I was still praying.
Thank you.
So that was, I am glad to know that CRI is out there, because you are just like Isaiah 1:8. Let us reason together. And, most of the programs that come on, they're past tense. And you're there. You're in the trenches when everybody calls. And by the grace of God, you answer so eloquently, by the Holy Spirit, we are continuing to grow. And from the bottom of our hearts, it's just so, so much thanks. So much blessings upon you and your home.
Thank you so much, R.C., and also give my regards to your son. I deeply appreciate it. I mean, there are a lot of people that have been unkind, but I would say the overwhelming number of people have been so gracious to me. And I think, I certainly pray that they see Christ in me, the hope of glory, just as they see Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are coming up to station break, RC, so I'm going to have to cut it off at that. On the other side of the break, we'll be back with more answers to your questions. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, or if you can't remember that, 888-275-4265. I do want to say that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we cannot do what we do. So I'm deeply grateful for those who have continued to stand with this ministry shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. We'll be back in just a moment. Please don't touch that dial.
Beware of false knowledge, said George Bernard Shaw. It is more dangerous than ignorance. In our increasingly secular and politically correct society, where fake knowledge has had a long-running start on fake news, the value we should place on knowing and speaking truth in love has never been greater. To equip you to know, feel, and speak truth in love, the current issue of the Christian Research Journal features a fresh look at the work of C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest Christian thinkers of the 20th century. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it, and historical amnesia means certain death when moral truth is forgotten. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal examines C.S. Lewis's prophetic warning that the growing acceptance of moral subjectivism and the moral skepticism it breeds would lead to a pernicious moral and eugenic manipulation of humanity. If we are to forestall the nightmarish consequences of the death of truth, followers of Christ must reject ignorance and false knowledge and deliberately learn to speak and feel the truth of the natural moral law in love. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. A trend in many parts of the contemporary American Christian church is the propagation of cliches that are neither Christian nor true. One of these is the idea that no sin is any worse than any other sin. That is, from God's perspective, all sins are equally bad. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Michael W. Austin offers a strong biblical case for why, in God's sight, all sins are not the same. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Randy Richard, before the break, was asking a question that just slipped out of my mind. He was asking about Psalm 137, 1. So let me say quickly, he was asking, why is that a psalm that was invoked at the inauguration? Well, Jewish rabbis remember, perhaps better than most of us, what happened. The Israelites had returned to the promised land. You had Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the walls. But they had seen just how flimsy civilization is and how easy it is to lose civilization. And I think oftentimes in Western culture, we forget that. We forget that we can go to the, quote, immortal city and there see visions of bleached bones, of kings who once strode upon the precipice of history, but now they're dead. And so I cannot know precisely what was in this particular rabbi's mind. But I can imagine that he was thinking, just as we forgot our God and we ended up in exile, like Jeremiah or Ezekiel. You think about Ezekiel, he is in the south of Babylon by the Kabar River, and he is mourning the loss of the holy city. So the idea is, may we never forget what bondage is like. And may we never forget that this could happen here, as it has happened in so many bygone civilizations. So let us not forget our God. Let us turn to God. Well, I'm not Jewish, obviously, but the principle holds true for me. I want to place my complete trust in God and never lean upon the arm of flesh, because when you do, you find that the arm of flesh is feeble and it's very, very short. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Carlos. He's listening in El Paso, Texas on KELP. Hi, Carlos.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Before I ask my question, okay, let me tell you a little bit of my faith. I am Catholic, Roman Catholic, but I also go to the non-denomination church, Christian church, so I kind of get information from both. Lately, I've been talking to a little bit of Jehovah's Witness. I've been doing a little bit of research. My question is this: what happens when a person dies? According to Jehovah's Witness, they believe in soul sleep, that the soul sleeps until the second coming of Christ, and then it'll be resurrected. And then I've been listening to some Christian information that said there's an intermediate heaven and intermediate hell. In other words, you die, you get judged, but you stay there in the intermediate heaven, and the people that are not saved go to intermediate hell until the second coming of Christ. And then others believe that you are judged immediately, and those who are saved go immediately to with the Lord, and the other ones go to hell. And Catholics believe, well, someone believe that if you have venial sin, that you are saved, but you have to be cleansed before you enter heaven. So what is your take on that?
Yeah, I don't think that there's any basis for the idea of purgation. When you die, you're absent from the body as a believer, you're present with the Lord. I often invoke Luke chapter 16, where Jesus tells the story of a rich man who dies, and he ends up in torment, and a poor man who dies, who ends up in Abraham's bosom or paradise. Those are the two options. There are only two. Either you are absent the presence of the Lord, and that is torment, or you are being comforted with all the other saints. So when you die, you never lose awareness. You may lose awareness, in other words, location in space, because you don't have a body anymore, but you are now, as a believer, in the presence of the Lord. Now, there is a time in which death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. So the eternal judgment is that which happens when Jesus appears a second time, and that is yet future. We look forward to that, because when that happens, we will not only be with the Lord in terms of the immaterial aspect of our nature, but we will be with the Lord in terms of the physical aspect of our nature, for our bodies will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And I was sort of speaking about earlier on in the broadcast, in the monologue, about how Christ's resurrection has pierced the veil so that we are communing, as it were, with the saints from all time, just as we commune with saints on this planet. Of course, Christians are called saints. That's biblical terminology. We're set apart as holy, and thus we are justifiably called saints.
The Jehovah Witness said that, Lazarus, when he was asleep, he said he was asleep. He was neither in heaven, neither in hell, but asleep until Christ woke him up. So what happened there?
Well, first of all, Jehovah's Witnesses have a faulty paradigm with respect to what happens after death. They believe that the soul ceases to exist. But all biblical language tells us something very, very different from that, and that's, again, why I invoke the biblical text. The Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. I can't say that enough, because I guess there's a lot of chatter on the internet where people are saying that I've changed my view. No, my views are codified in over 24 books. And if you want to know more about afterlife, there's a book I wrote on that. It's called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, Near-Death Experiences. Appreciate your call. Back to the phone lines, Jesse. He's listening in British Columbia, Canada, CHRB. Hi, Jesse.
Hi there, Hank. I just wanted to say it's a tremendous honor to be able to speak with you. My question is, it's not going to be quite as articulate as I'd like it to be, but I think you'll get the idea of what I'm trying to understand. From my understanding, the Eastern Orthodox have quite a different view on the doctrine of justification, the Protestant doctrine of justification. And I'm struggling with that doctrine myself, and I'm just wondering what their stance is on it, and if they believe that that Christ bore God's wrath for sinners on the cross, and if not, then what exactly his purpose was in doing so.
Yeah, well, the Eastern Orthodox, and we all trace our roots through Eastern Orthodoxy. Historically, there was one church up until 1054. Obviously, there were schismatic heretics within the church, and they were like branches that fell off the tree. But there's only one church, and that church continued on for over 1,000 years. Then there was another split in the Western Church between Protestants and Catholics. The Eastern Church, if you go back to that Reformation period, if you go back to Western Europe, when there was a great concern of the prevailing notion that salvation depended on human merit rather than the grace and mercy of God. You know, Tetzel was selling indulgences in the Western Church and saying, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. And so there were all kinds of abuses that took place in the medieval church. Well, the Eastern Church, quite frankly, had no context for the polarization that was being felt in the Western Church, a polarization of faith and works. The ecumenical councils had long settled this conundrum through the recognition that salvation comes through faith in Christ who fulfills the law. So we're all born with a broken gene. We're all sinners. And that's why we need not only a first Adam, but we need a last Adam who can fulfill the requirements of the law. And that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Sometimes we have to take this away from denominational lines or Christian divisions. Sometimes we have to just go back to the Word of God. So what does Romans 5 say? Well, Orthodox believe this, Protestants believe this, anyone who believes the Bible believes this, Catholics believe this if they hold to the Word of God. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith in this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope to the glory of God. So the Eastern Church saw true faith was not just a momentary transaction. It was a transformation of our lives because it is His great kindness towards us by which we are justified by faith and we are empowered by the Trinity to give the cup of water, to give the piece of bread to those in need, and as such, bring glory to God. So if someone's asking me about, well, what's the formulation? What do you believe? Rather than coming up with a mantra, I feel far more comfortable going directly to the Word of God. And I'll do that because we're close to a station break. What does the Word say? I thank God daily that I am a new creation in Christ. Again, these are not my words. These are the words of Scripture. For by grace, I have been saved through faith, and that not of myself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest I should boast. For we are His workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So again, it's very easy sometimes to think that all Protestant churches are monolithic or all Eastern Orthodox churches are monolithic. Everybody says the same thing. Well, they do have in the Eastern Orthodox Church a liturgy that they follow. The thing that we all ought to be, however, is biblical Christians who hold to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and particularly when it comes to this passage which I quoted, Ephesians 2, not just 8 and 9, but also 10. Come to your station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. And you don't want to miss it, the quote of the day.
C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. To receive your copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Modern board and card games offer a means for social interaction as well as creative and ethical decision-making. But Christians should not participate in activities closely mimicking forbidden and evil behavior. How can Christians determine which board games are suitable for them and their family? Read The Ethics of Modern Board and Card Games by Richard J. Poupard in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from Augustine of Hippo. He is the patron saint of Protestants, particularly the Reformed. And one of the great things of the Christian Research Institute is we have people from the Reformed tradition. We have Anglicans. We have people from many, many traditions. But the commonality is we are united around the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And the fact that we have such diversity has been wonderful. I have learned so much by my colleagues. For just listening to my colleagues, talking to my colleagues, interacting, sometimes getting little debates with my colleagues. And iron sharpens iron, and that's what happens at the Christian Research Institute. But again, Augustine of Hippo, he said this, "At the Lord's table, we do not commemorate martyrs in the same way that we do others who rest in peace so as to pray for them. but rather that they may pray for us, that we may follow in their footsteps. That's exactly what I want to do. I mean, my dad died. He was a Reformed pastor. And he pastored in obscurity for most of his life. But when he died, I thought, if there's anyone I want to follow, it's my dad. He lived a life of purity before the Lord. And it's always a great fond remembrance for me to recognize that my dad never had a meal before first reading the Bible and then praying. Well, actually, the sequence was a little different. We would pray for our food, then we'd eat our food, and then at the conclusion, my father would pray and he would read a portion of the scriptures. So even as a young boy, when I didn't want to hear it and I want to go off and do other things, I heard the word of God. And really, that laid the foundation for what the Lord has allowed me to do today. Let's go back to the phone lines. Noreen, listening in Champaign, Illinois, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Noreen.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
A pleasure.
My question is about St. Anthony. I was raised praying to St. Anthony whenever I would lose something, with great success, actually. Then a few years ago, when I became a Christian, another Christian told me, you don't pray to saints because God doesn't need help. You only pray to God. And so I stopped. And then recently I heard on a Christian radio station a fellow saying that when someone asked the question, do you pray to them? And he said, well, actually, you don't pray to the saint to help you. You could ask the saint to pray to God in your behalf, and then there's two of you praying to God to help you find what you can't find. And I'm just confused and want to know, what's the Bible say about all that?
Yeah, I don't think you're confused at all. I think you sort of said it all. Perish the thought that we pray to saints. I mean, prayer is reserved for God, just as worship is reserved for God. So when we pray, we can go directly into the throne room and we can speak to the triadic one. We can speak to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. However, there are many times that I ask staff members, family members, pray for me. I have a particular need. I'm sharing that need with you. Please pray for me. Many other times, people spontaneously come up to me and say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your ministry. Well, I'm delighted by that. And I suppose to some degree, this is why the quote of the day is so apropos in light of your question. I didn't expect this to be so synergistic, but thank the Lord that it is. Again, what did Augustine of Hippo say? At the Lord's table, we do not commemorate martyrs in the same way that we do others who rest in peace so as to pray for them, but rather that they may pray for us, that we may follow in his footsteps or in the footsteps of the martyrs. I think that's wonderful. I certainly want the prayers of people, and we have to remember that no one is dead. If you die, you're absent from the body, but you still continue to have conscious awareness in the presence of the Lord. So again, we don't pray to saints. Jesus has broken the wall of partition. We can go directly into the throne room of God. What a glorious thought. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jack in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi there, Mr. Hennegraaff.
Hi. Hello?
Hi. Hi, yes, sir. You know, first of all, I wanted to say, you know, you're like a lighthouse in today's day and age. You know, I started listening to you about a year and a half ago while I'm on my pizza route, and I still do every single day that I work, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And so I just had one question, and I'm going to hang up so you can answer it. It's better for me to listen that way. And basically, I just wanted to know, I don't think you think this, so I'm going to ask you, why don't you think that the smartphone that everybody carries around today is not the mark of the beast? I just want some biblical evidence that would disprove this, to say, oh, this is why it's not the mark of the beast. So Just thank you very much for everything that you do, and I'm ready to listen.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, I think this is akin to the hermeneutical madness that is reigning within the body of Christ, where people are no longer equipped to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. In fact, what they have become is their own little pope, adding their own little interpretation to the Scriptures, rather than reading the Scripture in the sense in which it's intended. The Scriptures have been turned into a wax nose, and this is particularly the case here. I mean, if you want to know whether smartphones are the mark of the beast, all you have to do is go to Scripture and recognize what the mark of the beast is. Scripture is pretty plain on this subject. The mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb. So if you go to Revelation chapter 13, you will read about 144,000 who have the mark of God on their foreheads, and you will then recognize that this is parodied by the beast and those who have the mark of the beast. So in Revelation chapter 14, you have those who have the mark of the beast. Revelation 13, those who have the mark of Christ. So what does that mean? Well, interpret Scripture in light of Scripture, and you will find out that what you hear in so many churches today across the world is simply false. The forehead and the hands of Old Testament believers were always thought to be symbols of their beliefs and their behavior. So what you do and your worldview identify you in terms of who you belong to, either the Lamb or the beast. The idea that some visible mark is necessary is, well, it's quite outrageous. I can tell if someone is a follower of Christ by seeing the fruit of their life. So it's not necessary that there's some kind of a mark. If someone asks you, do you belong to Christ? And you say, no, I don't belong to Christ. Well, their words have denied Christ. However, if you talk to someone and you see, wow, that person's behavior and their beliefs are very clearly those of a participant of Christ, they bear the mark of the Lamb. You see, people in the Middle East today, it's not like, wow, those Christians that are being martyred or beheaded or their fingers cut off so they're rendered useless, or the tips of their fingers, as the Muslims often do, render them useless in any kind of occupation. You can't pick anything up. what happens is those people have been asked to deny Jesus Christ, and they won't do it. It's not about a smartphone. They won't deny Jesus Christ. They are followers of the Lamb, and they're willing to die for Christ. Well, they had the mark of the Lamb. They're part of the full complement of God's people. You know what Revelation talks about in metaphor. You know, 12 times 12 times 1,000. 144,000 people, the full complement of God's people from every epoch of time, from every language, from every people, that ultimately will be carried by Christ over the threshold into the New Jerusalem. So the idea of having some kind of sensationalistic way of communicating the mark of the beast, well, it's a silicone chip or it's or whatever it might be, the smartphone. This is just sheer nonsense. Now, it's good for selling and sensationalism, but it's not good Scripture. So a lot of people say, you know, I believe the Bible as sola scriptura, and then they're teaching this stuff. Madness. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Larry. He's in Long Beach, California, listening on KKLA. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Okay, so I guess my question kind of falls in the same category of the last caller there. It was brought to my attention, someone used in Revelation 19:16 when it says that on his robe and on his thigh, it was a name written, King of King and Lord of Lord. And someone said that I mean, they used it to kind of justify that they had a tattoo, and they said Christ had a tattoo on his thigh. So I want your interpretation of, is that a literal, you know, the thigh, is that literally a mark on his thigh?
No, obviously not, and I just cannot believe, this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about hermeneutical chaos that is so rampant throughout the church. Sometimes I wish we could just stick with that which is certain, that has been passed down through the ages, so we don't, like the creeds, like the Nicene Creed. This is an absolute abomination to use this passage in that way. You know, this is a typical way that people are interpreting the book of Revelation. I mean, you go one chapter further, and you have an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He sees the dragon, the ancient serpent, who's the devil or Satan, bound for 1,000 years. You take that in a wooden literal sense. What you get is nothing but nonsense. How in the world is it possible for someone to bind a non-corporeal being with a chain? How is it possible to have the devil be a dragon? Dragons are the stuff of mythology, not theology. So we need to learn more than ever how to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. I have a flip chart to that end. It's called Lights in Your Path to Reading the Bible for All It's Worth. My apologies to those I didn't get to. Let me say that now more than ever, I need people to stand with me shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. If you can join CRI's monthly support team, be deeply appreciated. I'll take one of my books, personalize it to you, a family or member or friend. When I get done with the show, I'll probably do exactly that, personalize some books to those who've joined CRI's monthly support team. Also, for those who give, all kinds of resources available. What we're featuring this month is the Christian Research Journal. Once you get a copy, I think you get hooked. Out of here for today. Look forward to seeing you next time with more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. Donald T. Williams perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. Other topics include the abolition of man today, three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it, how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.